Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
A new topic. Yes, we're going to start a new topic today. All right, today's topic, very, very fundamental, yet extremely complex and little understood. We're going to have a good time with this one, I am sure, is the Bris Bein HaBesorim, which is known as the covenant between the parts. We're going to go through this. This is a little bit longer than some of the other topics we've studied. This one is actually 21 verses. The other ones have been in the range of the 9 to 10. So this will be a new challenge for us, and I'm not positive exactly how we'll handle this. Whether we'll break it down piecemeal or take it all in one shot, we'll see how that goes. Today we're going to see the whole thing so we get an overview of the text. We'll see what it is that we'll be studying, and then we'll break it down today. That's going to be our goal today, is to see the different components of the story. And then we'll subsequent weeks we'll really break it down and hopefully get a good understanding of this. Today you could be using your Chumash. You could open your Chumash as well, just to get a sense. We need to get a context of where this is taking place. So if you open up your Chumash to page 64 is where we find this. This is chapter 15. The story that we're about to read today takes up the entirety of chapter 15 from verse 1 through verse 21. So I want to show you, before we actually get into the story, is one or two things. Number one, if you look in the sheets that I gave you or in your Chumash, the first phrase of our story, of this covenant between the parts, which we'll understand exactly what that is in a few moments, the first phrase of the first pasuk in this story is Achar HaDvarim Ha'ela, which means after these things, or after these events. So Rashi points out, when you have that phrase Achar, as opposed to the word Achare, but Achar HaDvarim, it always means immediately following after. So that our story must be understood in context, because the Torah is telling us that the story that we're about to read took place immediately following after whatever it was that preceded it in the previous story. So we're going to do a little bit of a background check. That's going to be today's task, is a little bit of a background check as well. Now what I want you to look at as well is chapter 15. You could tell me, for those who are familiar from Rabbi Feldman spoke of this past Shabbos, there are various paragraph breaks throughout the Torah. You find them even in the Chumash that's printed in front of you. There are little spaces which distinguish different paragraphs. We've pointed this out many times, how the number system that we have, the chapter and verses, is really a Christian concept. The Jews did not create the chapter and verses. We have what the Torah gave us, different parshas. We have different aliyahs, which are broken down from the sages, and then we have from Hashem himself, he broke things down into various paragraphs, which are often very instructive as to where the storylines start and stop because of the paragraph breaks. So take a look from the beginning of chapter 15, verse 1, to the end of chapter 15, how many paragraph breaks we have.
Question makes me think that the answer is zero.
That is in fact correct, but I want you all to see for yourself, 100%. Right, if you see from the beginning of our story in chapter 15, which is on the bottom of page 64, our story begins on the very bottom of that page with the word Achar, which follows a paragraph break, and then it runs straight through, no paragraph breaks, until chapter 16 on the top of page 70. Everybody see what I'm doing over here? So I want you to just to see that even though we're going to be focused on the sheets that I've handed out, I want you to see that where we are going to break down this story for our own purposes, and we're going to see how many different themes, how many different topics run through this story, in the Torah's presentation of it to us, it is one long story. It starts from a paragraph break from the previous story. It's an isolated incident in itself. It's self-contained. And then it begins a new paragraph following our story is going to begin chapter 16, which opens up with Sarah not having any children and handing her maidservant Hagar to Avraham and beginning that process. But this, what we are going to learn about, is going to be its own isolated little story without any paragraph breaks inside. So far, so good? Okay. Now, as I mentioned, the opening phrase of our story is after these things, which means that it's going to be in the context of what happened previously. So let's spend a few minutes and just very briefly highlight the three prior chapters, which are the only three chapters which have to do with Avraham, meaning chapters 12, 13, and 14 are the only chapters in which Abraham is introduced. So we're going to take a very quick overview of what takes place in chapters 12, 13, and 14, and we'll see what we know of Abraham so far as we begin this story that we're about to study. So far, so good? Mm-hmm. Chapter 12 is the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, in which we are basically introduced to Abraham. And the part that we will focus on is follows. The first four verses, I'll read it inside. Hashem says to Abraham, go for yourself from your land, from your relatives, and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who curses you I will curse. All the families of the earth shall bless themselves by you. End quote. In our own words, what has Hashem promised Abraham at this point as we're introduced to Abraham? Now, many of the sages talk about, like, where is he coming from, this Abraham? Like, we don't know anything about him. And all of a sudden, Hashem appears to him and says, leave your father's home, and I'll make you this great nation. But let's just work through, as far as this is, where we are introduced to him. His name is mentioned in the previous Parsha, just as far as the list of people who are born. So we are introduced him by name and where he's from. But this is really the first incident with him. What is the very first promise? How would we put it in our own words, the promise that's given to Abraham?
I'll make you a great nation.
Great nation. So he knows he's going to become a great nation, and the fact that nations will bless him through him, but he knows he's going to be made into a great nation. So we're going to keep track of, because the story that we are going to reach, verse chapter 15, is going to discuss extensively the blessings and the promises and the covenants that Hashem is going to make with Abraham. So let's put into context what Abraham already knows, what we've already experienced leading up to that. So the first thing that Abraham is told is that he's going to be made into a great nation. So he knows that he will become something great. Now, verse 4 continues that Abraham does what Hashem asked of him, and he goes with his nephew Lot, and he goes when he is 75 years old. We'll get back to that point. He is 75 when the story begins. He leaves his father's home, and he goes to Haran. Take a look at verse 7.
So when he left.
Sorry, when he left Haran to go to the land of Canaan. Thank you. Verse 7. Hashem appeared to Avram and said. Now notice, of course, that his name is
Avram.
Right? He's not yet been called Avraham, just Avram. It's out the hay at the end. Hashem appears to him and says, to your offspring I will give this land. So he's told when he's in Haran to leave and he'll become a great nation. Now, to be a great nation, you have to have a lot of children, or at least a single child who has. Somewhere along the line, you go from an individual to many. So he's told that. And then, now he gets to the land that he's told to go to, and Hashem appears to him and says, to your offspring, I will give this land. So he, end quote. So now Avram has received two prophecies from Hashem. The only two statements we are told at this point, number one, he will become a great nation. He's told that in Haran. He listens to the command to leave, gets to the land of Canaan, and there Hashem says to him, this is the land that I will give to your offspring. Abram responds at the end of verse 7, and he builds an altar there to Hashem who appeared to him, and then he relocates to Beis El, and he journeys towards the south. Then the Torah goes in on verse 10 and onward that there was a famine in the land and he has to leave and he goes down to Egypt. So as part of that, that's not going to be relevant to us, all the details that take place over there. We're just keeping a long, broad stroke overview of the promise in Haran to become a great nation. Gets to the land of Israel, he's promised that particular land. He then goes down to Egypt and all that takes place down there. They take his wife Sarah, Hashem comes to the Paro. And then he leaves. So let's go to chapter, that takes us to chapter 13. He's now leaving Egypt on page 59. On their way back from Mitzrayim, he and Lot have problems because now they have a lot of cattle. They're working their way back to the land of Israel and they get into their famous dispute in which they can't be together. And the rest of this chapter then discusses their discussions and they part ways. And the chapter then concludes in verse 14, on the next page, on page 61, here's one, take one from there. Hashem says to Avram after Lot had parted from him, raise now your eyes and look out from where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land that you see, to you I will give it, and to your descendants forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, then your offspring too can be counted. Walk the length of land and its breadth, for you, to you I will give it. How would we summarize the communication between Hashem and Avram here in verses 14 through 16?
Well, it's going to have a lot of descendants in the land. It's all going to be there.
Right? It's a basic repeat of the first two, but combined into one, in which we add, not only will we just call you a great nation, we now add the imagery of as numerous as the dust of the earth. Now, it is going to be important for us to note the different imagery that's given to the promise of progeny to Avram. As we often like stars and dust and sand, there are like lots of different things that are mentioned. This is the first one that's mentioned, and what's mentioned here is what? Is it sand, stars, or dust? Dust. Afar ha'aretz. So there are going to be three things mentioned to the fathers, to the avos, to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We're going to find stars, we're going to find sand, and we're going to find dust. So the first promise that's made to Avram when he's in Haran is neither. There he was just called to be a great nation. Then he gets to the land and he's promised the land. Then he goes down to Mitzrayim, the whole episode there with Sarah. Then he comes up, the whole episode with his nephew Lot. They part ways. And then Hashem comes to him again and combines the promises and says, look out over the land, east, west, north, south, this is going to be the land to you and your children. And he adds, those children will be numerous as the dust of the earth. Yeah.
Okay, so what if it's a maze and Abraham could have gone down the wrong path thinking that Lot was going to be by whom he was going to have lots of descendants.
Okay.
But when Hashem reiterates the blessing and he said dust, he means you're getting closer. You're getting hotter.
Yeah, we're not ready for that. We're just getting the overview of the land. That could be. What I want to do is just understand the context of the story that we're going to be doing. Okay, so far we've covered the two chapters. That's where we've had Avram so far. And then we go into chapter 14 on the bottom of page 60, the War of the Kings, the four kings and the five kings. And every year we read this as we go through the parasha and just like reading it through, names and places and people. And the Torah goes through great length to describe this particular war. So it begins on the bottom of page 61, takes us all the route through page 62 and 63. A Lot is taken captive. Avraham goes and he saves Lot, which will take a brief pause there on the bottom of page 62 in the middle of this war. In verse 14, on the bottom of the page, Vayishma Avram ki nishba achiv, that Avraham heard that his kinsman was taken captive, that his nephew Lot. Vayorek es chanichav, and he armed his disciples who had been born in his house. 318 and chased after them. Now the sages are going to see, as we'll point out, this is a hint and introduction to his servant Eliezer, which will pop up in our story. The simple meaning of the verse is simply people born in his house, 318 of them he took to war with him. But the phrase that's used are the disciples who were raised in his home or have been born in his home, and he pursued. And with his servants, they overtook them, the kings, and they struck them down, rescued his nephew Lot, and all of the possessions. The verses continue in verses 17. They try to give him honor, and Avram responds basically in verse 22, I lift up my hand to Hashem, not from a thread to a shoe strap, I don't want anything, only Hashem is going to be the one to give me stuff. End of the story. So, and that brings us to our story. So what we have, again, a quick summary, if you haven't gotten it by now, we're just going to say it one more time. The introduction in Haran, you'll be a great nation. He gets to Eretz Yisrael, he's promised once, this land will be given to your children. Goes out to Mitzrayim, comes back up, separates from Lot, and then that's reiterated a second time together. you will become a great nation as numerous as the dust of the earth, and this is the land that I will give to your children. So in essence, what we have are two promises, of children and of the land. Both of those could be separated. You could obviously have one without the other. And those two promises are brought to Abram, that he will have a great nation as numerous as the dust of the earth, and that this particular land is going to be his land. Okay, ready? Let us tackle our story. So with that background, you now know everything you need to know about what we know about Abraham so far as we begin our story. Okay, so we're going to move to our sheets so that I don't have to worry about you looking underneath the line into the commentary, because I know you all, and I know how tempting that is. We are not going to be doing that. We are going to be just focusing on the text. We're going to be raising our questions. And I'm going to introduce again, borrowing from Rabbi David Foreman, who I've referenced many, many times in this class, it's a very simple terminology, but I just like the idea, the concept behind it, what he calls his big questions, capital B, and his little questions, lowercase l. Big questions are going to be the type of questions that we're going to see, and we're going to say, like, if we can't answer this question, we don't understand the story, we don't understand the text. We have to understand the dialogue, what everybody wants from each other, what does Hashem want from Avram, what does Avram want from Hashem. There are going to be several major themes and major problems as we go through, like questions we're just going to ask ourselves, what is going on? And then there are going to be a lot of little questions, a lot of them. This text is filled, replete with these types of questions. We thought, well, I never really stopped and thought about that, but that's odd. Now, from the little questions, we'll be able to answer at the end, as we've seen, many of the bigger questions. But let's keep track as we go through. What I'd like to do today, I don't know, it's 21 verses. I'm not sure if we're going to get through all of it. We'll do our best, as much as we can. Just what I want to do is come out today with an understanding, getting through the verses, raising some of the bigger issues. And we'll note, obviously, because you guys aren't going to be able to control yourselves with the little ones also. You're going to be like, what about this and what about that? Which is great. But we're going to note them and move forward. Here we go. Ready? Yeah. Achar advarim ha'ela. Right, it sounds like Megillah. It's the exact same. Achar advarim ha'ela. We find it in the Megillah, Esther. A lot of times you have repeating phrases in the Chumash through the Navi. They often come to parallel different ideas. But in any case, not for now. It was after these things. Now, after which things? What just happened previously in the text?
The five kings, the four kings.
The war with the four kings and the five kings. Avram is able to defeat all of these massive kings with a small army of 318, pursues them, takes his nephew Lot back, and then shuns all the type of rewards that they want, and he says, I don't want any of your rewards. And then the story ends. It was after that event, Hoya Dvar Hashem el Avram v'machazet leimor, the word of Hashem came to Avram in a vision, saying, Anoichi Mogein Loch, Secharcha Harbe Me'od. Now, in the English, what I've done is, anytime the Hebrew language is very rich, as we've seen many times, and the single word in Hebrew has many nuances of meaning. So when there are a couple of different nuanced possibilities, and the commentators have different interpretations, I put a little, I put them both in the text to sort of show that the Hebrew word that's used is not simple, and there are various ways of understanding it. So what does Hashem say? So what's the vision that comes to Avram? This is now the third vision that we've had with Avram. Really the fourth, I guess. One in Haran, promising to be a great nation. Two in the land of Israel, promising to be a great nation. And then a third in which he doubles that promise again and says, I'll give you this land, you'll be numerous as the dust. Now another vision comes to Avram and says, fear not, Avram. I am a shield for you. Anochi Mogein Loch. Now that should be a very familiar phrase. Where is that from? Or where are we from? Right? The Bracha and Shmona Esrei, Mogein Avraham. The shield of Avraham. So if you ever paid attention to Shmona Esrei, you say, that's a funny phrase. What, the shield of Avraham? Why do we refer to Hashem as the shield of Avraham? Well, the reason is because Hashem refers to himself as the shield of Avraham. And he says, Anoichi Mogein Loch. I will be a shield, or I am a shield for you. Your schar, which can mean reward or compensation, is exceedingly great. Scharcha harbe me'od. Comments on the pasuk. Questions we need to ask. Oh, it's deafening. I can't take it. Yes.
Okay. Are we now up to number four or number five?
Four or five what?
Well, we had four times where God promised that he's going to get the land and he's going to get children. Is this something different when God says, I'm a shield for you, I'm protection for you, and you're going to get compensation?
Okay, so let's ask that simpler. What does it mean that God is a shield for Avram? Excellent. What do you use a shield for?
Defense.
Protection. What's the first thing that Avram, what that Hashem says to Avram in this verse?
Fear.
Fear not. Who do you say fear not to?
Somebody's afraid?
Right. In other words, if somebody says, you say, come to the Tuesday class at noon, it's awesome. They say, no, don't worry, it's great. Right? The other say, I must be saying, I don't want to go. So you say to somebody who doesn't want to go, no, don't worry.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid. It's not going to bite. But somebody who, like, out of the blue, I wouldn't say to any of you, don't be afraid. So clearly, what's coming in the, we're coming in the middle of something is happening here, where Avram is clearly afraid. Hashem's opening line to him is, fear not, I will be a shield to you. So obviously we're going to have to address, as we will, what was Avram afraid of, and in what way will Hashem serve as a shield. And then he adds, Scharcha harbei me'od, your reward or compensation will be exceedingly great. Now Jennifer asked a great question here. What has Avram been told so far?
You're going to get land, you're going to get kids.
Right, two things. You're going to have many children, numerous as the dust, and you're going to be given this land. Is this something different? This is a new phrase. Your reward or compensation, your schar, will be exceedingly great. Is that somehow refer? Is that in the next world? Is that in monetary compensation? What is Hashem promising to Avraham when he says that? Now we'll leave that question on the table, because not only are we going to have to answer what Hashem actually meant, we're also going to have to answer, how did Avraham understand that? What did Avraham think when he heard from Hashem, Scharcha harbei me'od, your reward, your compensation will be exceedingly great? What did he think that meant? But we'll leave those questions on the table. Let us move forward. Vayoymer Avram. Let's get Avram's response. Clearly he's afraid, because Hashem's first comment to him is, don't be afraid. Hashem says, I'll be a shield for you. If you look underneath that line.
I'm not, I promise, I'm not.
I will give you what to fear. Okay, so...
we'll protect you.
I promise.
Okay, so let's get Avram's response.
For you.
Let's get Avram's response. So Avram is going to give us a response to Hashem saying, don't be afraid, I'll be a shield, you're going to have this enormous reward. Vayomer Avram, Hashem Elokim. Now there's a double language in which he uses the names of the Ado and then the Noi name of Hashem, and then he uses it again, Elokim. My master, my lord, Elokim, ma titainli, what can you give me? The anochi holech ariri, I go childless. Now the word ariri, we have a couple different interpretations. We're going to go with Rashi's interpretation for now. I go childless. What can you give me? Uven meshek besi, who the meshek Eliezer. Very difficult Hebrew. We're going to go with Rashi again. The steward of my house, the one in charge of my house, is the Damesek, is from Damascene, Damesek Eliezer, the servant Eliezer. In basic English, and of course we'll break this down as we go along, what can you possibly give me? I don't have any children. So in our context, Hashem is promising him enormous reward, is telling him not to fear, I'll be a shield, and Avram's response is, what can you give me if I don't have any children? And he adds to that, not just that I don't have children, but what do I have? I have this servant who's of my house, who's from Damascus, who we know the sages are going to say was referenced in the previous chapter, the one he took to war with him. But says Avraham, what can you give me when I go childless and all that I have is Eliezer? Now, let's put this on hold. Let's continue. Let's complete the whole response from Avram. Vayomer Avram. And Avram said, Hein, li lo nasata zora. Behold, to me, li, lo nasata zora. You have not given me offspring. Vihine, and see, ben besi, someone from my house, Yoresh Osi, will inherit me. Now remember, Avram is a very wealthy man. He's come back from Mitzrayim. You know, a lot of stuff, a lot of cattle, that he and Lot had to separate ways. He just won this war with the kings. They try to give him all sorts of stuff, and he says, I don't need any of your stuff. I don't want any of your stuff. Hashem is going to make me great. Says Avram, behold, you have given no offspring to me, and one of my house inherits me. What would you say when you put verses 2 and 3 together?
The main thing on Abraham's mind is having children.
Excellent. Okay, that certainly jumps right out on us. So whatever, I ask the question, what did Abraham think the schar was, the reward that was promised in verse 1? What did he think? What did he think? We could ask the question again, what did Hashem mean? But we could ask, what did Avram think it meant? What did he think he was being promised when Hashem said, don't worry, I'll be a shield to you, I'll give you great reward? Whatever it was that Avram thought it meant, what is his response clearly in verses 2 and 3?
I don't need that. I need something else.
Right?
And you haven't
It's not meaningful to me, or it's meaningless to me, whatever it is that he's thinking Avram, Hashem is going to give him, being that I don't have any children. Okay, that's clear, that's forefront in his mind. But there's something very odd when you look at both verses 2 and 3 together.
He's concerned about inheritance, but I'm not sure that he's concerned about his monetary inheritance, his rechush. He's concerned about his spiritual inheritance, what he has established in this world.
Okay.
What he's brought, the new thing that he's...
Clearly there's an inheritance which is on his mind, and we'll raise it as a question. You're answering the question. I'll raise it as a question. Is he concerned about a physical monetary inheritance, or is he concerned about his spiritual inheritance? And you're voting for the spiritual, that he's concerned who is going to take over this spiritual journey and quest that I have started. Totally fair. What else is odd about these two psukim when you look at them together?
It's reiterative.
They both focus on Eliezer.
Okay, they seem to be very repetitive. Mm-hmm. Now, there's one phrase which is extreme, which is really odd, which you're not paying attention to.
They see.
No, one second.
No, the
which you're not, because you're looking at each one independently. But when you look at the two of them together, if you think about a conversation, which this seems to be, there's something a little strange about this.
Of course he's saying, what can you give me? Then he's saying, you've given me nothing. I mean, he's saying, he's asking the question, and then he's answering the question.
Who's the speaker in verse 2? Who's the speaker in verse 3? Is this a continuous dialogue? Anyone seeing what I'm hinting at?
There's some response that we're not hearing.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Look at the beginning of verse 3. How does verse 3 start? And Avram said, if this is one conversation, that phrase should just not be there. There should be just continue the dialogue. From verse 2 right into verse 3, he's still speaking. But it sounds like there are two comments that Avram makes which are separate and independent. In verse 2, and Avram said, my Lord Elohim, what can you give me, seeing that I go childless and the steward of my house is a mask and Eliezer? And Avram said, wasn't he the last one to speak? You don't need to introduce him again as the speaker if he was the last one who spoke. He's still speaking. Sounds like there was a response somewhere, or something happened, maybe I don't know what, right now, we'll leave it open, in which Avram speaks again. Even though what he seems to say sounds like it's almost the exact same thing as what he said previously. What were the two aspects of verse 2? What can you give me? I'm childless, and I have this servant Eliezer. What does he say in verse 3? You're giving me no children, and the one in my house, Eliezer, is the one who inherits me. Yet it's introduced with a whole new phrase of, and Avram said, he seems to be saying the same thing twice. Anyone following me so far?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're raising all the problems right now. So far, so again, Hashem comes to Avram after the war of the kings and says, don't be afraid, I'll be a shield, you have a great reward. And then we have this Avram's response, in which he seems to respond two times in two separate independent responses with the same phrase, the same two basic ideas of, I have, one time he says it in the sense of, I am childless. Second time he says, you've given me no offspring. Very, very similar. Second, he says in the first verse 2, all I have is the steward of my house, Eliezer. In verse 3 he says, and the one in my house will inherit me, which seems to be a reference to Eliezer again. Very similar phrases, both introduced with Vayomer Avram.
This may totally not fit, but is there a reason why when Avraham addresses Hashem, he uses both attributes of Hashem?
Yeah, I'm sure of that. In other words, it's a very interesting usage of the name of Hashem, the double language of Hashem Elokim. And we'll see if we can get back to understanding why. We'll see that again later in the story as well. Yeah, it's going to be back in verse 8. Again, we're going to see that language, that usage, which is not uncommon. It's not the only two places we find it, but it's certainly not common enough that if we find it twice in the same story, we'll have to address that.
I don't understand what in my house inherits me. Why does Eliezer inherit?
Well, Abraham has no one else.
Oh.
Right, he's saying, I have nothing, whatever you've given me, whatever you can give me, it sounds, now you wanted to interpret this in a spiritual sense. The simple reading would actually imply much more of a physical sense, which Avram is saying, whatever you give me is just going to go to my servant Eliezer.
Yeah, because he can't carry on the spiritual aspect of it. He's not capable of doing that.
He's not capable of doing anything.
Okay, we'll get to this dialogue. Okay, so far, let's move forward, get as much as we can of the big picture as we go along. Okay, let's move on. Verse Dalet 4. Vihine. Behold, or suddenly, Devar Hashem Elov Lemor. The word of Hashem came to him saying, Lo Yiroshcha Zeh. This man that you keep referring to, this Eliezer, will not inherit you. Ki imasher yetze mimeyecha hu yiroshecha. Only he that shall come forth from within you, literally from your bowels, that person will inherit you. Now, how old is Avram at this point? You know, it seems like, right? We left Haran, the Torah told us, at 75. He's been down to Mitzrayim, he came back up, we had one of the four kings and the five kings, unclear exactly how old he is, but he's an older man. Says Hashem to Avram, you are clearly concerned there's no one to inherit you. All you have is your servant Eliezer. So the word of Hashem comes to Avram clearly, explicitly, that man will not inherit you. Only someone who will come from within you, from within your bowels, he will inherit you. Vayotze Yoso Achutza, verse 5. He took him outside. Vayoymer, and he said to him, Habet noa shamayma, look towards the heavens. Usfora koichavim, and count up the stars, im tuchal usforosam, if you are able to. Vayomer lo, and he said to him, Ko ye zarecha, so shall your offspring be. So Avram has a clear concern about his children. Hashem addresses it explicitly and says, that man Eliezer will not inherit you, only someone from within you. He then says, come outside with me. Takes him outside and says, look at the stars. Count them if you are able to, so shall your offspring be. So what do we see from here?
It happened at night.
Okay, it would seem to be that it's happening at night. That's a fair point, because there seem to be all these stars.
Might have been in a dream that Hashem...
Okay, now if you go back, what Dina's pointing out is, how did this open up in verse 1? After these things, the word of Hashem came to Abram in a vision. Now generally, visions were at night, when the recipient of the vision was asleep. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one exception to that, who spoke to Hashem whenever he desired in a state of consciousness. But generally, the prophet spoke to Hashem in a state of semi or subconsciousness, not while they were physically awake. But we do see him taking him outside. So now, if he's asleep, no, we could just ask that question. Like, is it really? Did they physically walk outside? Was he still in a vision? Was he awake? Those are all fair, like very technical, practical questions. Exactly what this means. But let's introduce what we do see here, which is obvious, which is why no one's pointing it out.
Count the stars versus count
the dust. Right now, the original promise given to Abraham, which we saw a chapter before, we went from you'll be a great nation. That was the first thing said to Avram when he was still living in Haran with his father. Then he gets to the land of Israel and eventually goes down to Mesopotamia and comes back. And then he's given the promise of not just a great nation, but you'll be as numerous as the dust of the earth. And now, in response to this dialogue, we are introduced to the blessing of you'll be as numerous as the stars of the heaven. Okay, so far so good? Vav 6. Ve'he'emin b'Hashem. He'emin, of course, is a word we throw around all the time, but is not simple in its translation. He believed, or he trusted. Belief would be the more common translation of that. Emunah, he believed in Hashem. Vayachsheveha lo tzedaka. That is a very difficult phrase. How would we normally translate the word tzedaka?
Fairness.
So, we use it to mean charity, which we discussed in last topic, right? Is really rooted in the word of tzedek, of justice or righteousness. Vayachsheveha lachshov means to think or to consider. Vayachsheveha lo, he, capital H, considered it to him, lowercase h, meaning there are two ways to read this. We're going to go with Rashi for now. Hashem, v'hamin b'Hashem, means that Avraham now heard from Hashem as he's taken out to peer upon the stars of heaven, promised that just like he can't count the stars, so will his children be as numerous as those stars. V'hamin b'Hashem. And Avraham trusted or believed that that would happen. And then Hashem, looking at Avraham's belief in him, considered that to Avraham as righteousness. That there was some form of righteousness that Avraham believed that which Hashem told him he would have children as numerous as the stars.
And before he didn't believe?
Excellent. The obvious question would be, okay, so Hashem promises you that you'll have children, and you believe Him, and that's considered, that's righteousness. Well, what about before this? We've already been promised twice, you'll be a great nation, you'll be as numerous as the dust of the earth, and he's still uneasy, Avraham. He still keeps saying, what can you give me? I have no children. My servant Eliezer is going to inherit me. Then Hashem takes him outside and says, you'll be as numerous as the stars. And now we have the phrase Veheemin Bahashem, Avraham believes in Hashem. And now the Torah says, and Hashem considered that for Avraham to be righteousness. It was righteous that he believed him. Very odd phrase. We'll need to discuss this just parenthetically before we get there. Parenthetically, the other possibility of translating this pasuk would have been to reverse the capital H's and lowercase H's. That Avraham considered it as tzedakah from Hashem to make this promise to him. Not that, the way that Rashi reads it, which is the way that I have it here on the English side, that Hashem considered it as righteousness of Avraham, that he believed in him. It would be that Avraham considered it as tzedakah from Hashem to give him this promise.
The third time
that what?
The third time he's been told the same thing.
Right.
Strengthened it to
So those will be some possibilities that we'll see as we get along with that. Okay, so far so good. I mean, we have a lot of questions, obviously, but this is what we've gotten so far. Yeah, you have a question?
Let's move on. Comment.
Okay, comment, yeah.
What Paula was saying about Abraham's concern about his spiritual legacy, that he doesn't really care if there's a lot of children and he's a great nation, if they're dust as the earth and they take over the whole land, Are these children going to amount to anything? Is he going to get some nachas? And Hashem says they're going to be like the stars in the sky. So then Avraham is satisfied that these children are going to amount to something.
Okay, we don't see in the text that he thought he was going to have children, but they wouldn't be anything. It sounds like he thought they would not be there at all. But what I think is interesting is when we talk about, as I mentioned, there are different promises. We have great nation, stars, sand, dust. The phrase of, and he believed in Hashem, I'm happy to take that comment and throw that on the table. The, I believed in Hashem, that came after the specific promise of stars. So as we work through what's the meaning of all of these different types of promises, it is of note that that's the one that gets the response of Amin Bahashem, being taken outside and told to look heavenward and try to count the stars. There it says, Amin Bahashem. Yeah.
Question. Have we already had the sand reference, or does that come later?
So we haven't seen it. We've seen that. That's why we did all the background. In other words, assuming that the Torah is chronological in order, mm-hmm. and I'm putting a big assuming, because right now we're going to start that way, but we'll see when we get done if that will stand or not. Assuming everything is chronological, all that we've been given so far is you'll be a great nation. He's been promised like the dust of the earth. And now we have the stars of the heavens. And I don't remember if Avram gets that at all. It could be that that was given to Yitzchak or to Yaakov. It's not all of the Avos received all three. Different ones from the Avos received different, when we put them all together, you know, with stars and sand and dust, but not everyone got all three of those. Okay, let's continue. Zion 7. And he said to him, Ani Hashem asher hotzeisicha me'or kazdim. I am Hashem who brought you out of Or Kazdim. Losef lecho es ha'aretz hazos l'rishta. To give you this land to inherit it. So I have a new sentence. Hashem introduces a new topic, it sounds like. I am Hashem who brought you out of Or Kazdim to give you this land to inherit it. Questions, comments? Simple comment, where is this coming from? What's the if you set the pull out of the text, what's the goal, what's the topic, what's the what do we take out of this verse? What's Hashem saying in our own words?
I have a plan.
I brought you here and I have
a plan for you.
Okay, first he introduces himself, Ani Hashem. Now, if we're in the middle of a conversation from the previous seven verses, it's an interesting thing to say. I mean, they've been dialoguing, and now he says, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. And I am the one who took you out of Or Kazdim. And the reason why I did that is to give you this land. Now, what has been the focus of the previous six verses? Of the two promises given to Avram, what's the focus of the first six verses? The children issue. And now Hashem introduces in verse 7, I am Hashem, the one who took you out of Or Kazdim. And he introduces the second half of the promise, and that is the promise of the land. Says Avram in response to this, Vayomer Hashem Elokim, he said, again, that same language of Hashem Elokim, which was his response to verse 2, Bama Eida Ki Iroshena. Whereby shall I know, with what will I know, that I will inherit it?
He's really single-minded.
Okay, now in what way?
He doesn't have any children yet.
Okay, let's be very specific. What's Avram's problem here in verse 8? It's not, be careful with how you're phrasing that.
Yeah, disbelieving? I'm not going to do it either.
What's he disbelieving?
How can he inherit it if he has no children?
You guys are reading into it too much. You're reading in from the previous six verses. If you read verse 7 and 8 in a vacuum.
What, they're looking for a sign of some kind?
For what?
That he will have children.
No. No, you guys are all doing the same. Right? The land. Right? In other words, it's confusing because you read the first six verses and all you see is children, 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 children. Avram is not convinced. He keeps saying, I don't have any, I don't have any, I don't have. Hashem promises to take them aside. The stars, I believe you. And now Hashem introduces a new topic of conversation. And he says, I took you out of Or Kazdim to give you this land.
So where's my deed?
Yeah. Right? And Avram says, how do I know? What's the proof? What's the sign? So he might be saying, I might have a lot of children, but from where will I know? How do I know that me and the children that you promised me will in fact actually get this land? Now this is an interesting question that Avram asks, because we want to talk a lot about this question. Here you have Hashem making a promise, saying, I am Hashem who took you out of Or Kazdim to bring you to and give this land to you. And Avram says, Bama Eida, from where will I know? How do I know that I will inherit this? Now this is not a question on children inherit. It's a question of how do I know that I will get this land?
So isn't that the first Rashi on Bereshit Bara Elokim?
where, you know, when the nations of the world say, how are you entitled to this?
Right. So Paul's referencing the first Rashi in Chumash is a where the nations of the world are going to claim against us that we don't have a right to it.
Right.
So we'll tie in a little bit here. Avram's asking, maybe someone else will get it. How do I know that in fact that you're telling me that I and my children will get this land, that maybe I'll have children, I believe you on that, but where is the proof? Where is the sign? How will I know that I will actually get this land? Right? What's clearly coming out is that there are two themes which come out over and over to Avram, promise of children and a promise of land. When Hashem promised him children, what was Avram's response? At the end of the day, at least at the end of the previous six verses?
No, I believe.
V'hamin ba'Hashem. He had... Now again, remember the dialogue. The dialogue in the opening verse, in verse 1, was... Hashem, did Hashem promise Avram children in verse 1?
No.
What did He promise him? No.
Reward.
Yes.
Reward.
Now that might have been land. We don't know what Avram, we don't know what Hashem reward. Really meant. We have to look into that. He promised him reward. And what does Avram say? He responds, but I don't have any children. So Hashem takes him outside and says, you'll have a lot of children like the stars. And Avram says, okay. I believe. Now Hashem introduces a new topic of conversation and he says, and you're going to get the land. And what's Avram's response to this?
How do I know?
Where's my proof? Now we're going to point out, as we go through a lot, the different responses between the proof, the promise of children, to the promise of the land. In terms of the promise of the children is, I believe. And the promise of the land is,
show me.
How do I know? Okay, test. 9. And he said to him, so Hashem responds. Avram has a question, and he says, how do I know? He responds, Kicholi egla mishuleshes. Take to me 3 heifers, 3 calves, the ve'ez mishuleshes, 3 she-goats, the ayil mishulosh, 3 rams, the sor v'gozol, and 2 types of bird, a tor, a turtle dove, and a gozol, a young dove. So,
nice.
So how will I know? Well, let's, you know, we have a whole entourage here. 3 calves, 3 goats, 3 rams, turtle dove, and a young dove. Take all of those things. Vayikachlo es kolela, and he took all these to him. Vayivoter osom batovech, and he divided them in the center. So he cuts the animals in half. Vayitain ish visro likras re'ehu, placing each piece opposite its counterpart. So the animals are split, and then they're lined up, each half opposite the opposite half. But the birds, veshatzipor lo vosar. But the birds, he did not cut up.
Wow.
How do you know to do this? What did Hashem tell him to do?
Bring these things to him.
Right? Now Hashem says, take these things to me. So Avram does.
And he cuts them,
and he cuts them in half. Now, and then he lines them up in a way in which one could like walk through the middle where the animal hands are on the opposite sides. And what did he do with the birds?
Nothing.
That he does not cut up. 11. The birds of prey descended upon the carcasses, and Avram drove them away. Right? I mean, so one thing is clear. There is something symbolic going on in this verse. That's clear. Right? Avram asks, how do I know that I'll inherit the land? Shem says, take from me all these animals. So he takes them. He then cuts them in half, lines them up opposite each other. Birds he doesn't cut. Birds of prey suddenly come down from the heaven to consume the carcasses, and Avram has to drive them away. And we're told all this information. Forgetting about whether it happened or not, and the Torah has a need to tell us all of this. So clearly some significant symbolism will be within that. Yeah.
Okay, it sounds like things are going deeper and deeper. First, Abraham left his house, went with God. He didn't know exactly where he was going. He doesn't ask a lot of questions, but he goes with God. And God promises he's going to have children and land. And here, you know, Abraham really feels free to address some of these deep questions. How do I know I'm going to have children? Who's really going to inherit from me? And it sounds like Abraham has some nevuah himself, or his relations with God are so close that he knows enough to cut the birds up, to cut the animals up in half. And it just goes deeper and deeper. It's getting deeper and deeper, and he's asking bigger existential questions. And what's going to be the future of my children and everything?
Okay. I think I want to complete the whole thing. A little bit more. So the birds of the and in half and vayihi Hashemesh lavo, that when the sun was going down, vatardema nafla al Avram, a deep sleep fell upon Avram. Vihine, and behold, ema, a dread, chashecha gedayla, a great darkness fell upon him. So we have this vision of this sacrifice of these animals being split in half, lined up. Avram has to fend off the birds of prey that come to consume the carcasses, and then as the sun is about to set, a deep sleep falls upon Avraham, darkness and dread. 13, Vayomer l'Avram, and now a voice, Hashem speaks to Avram in his deep sleep with dread and darkness. Yadoa teida, surely know with certainty, ki ger yihye zarocha be'eretz lo lohem. Your offspring will be aliens, they'll be foreigners, they'll be strangers in a land that is not theirs. Ve'avadum, and they will serve that nation in which they are foreigners in. Ve'inu osam, and that plate, those people will oppress them. Arbot me'os shana, for 400 years. So in the middle of his vision, so Avram again, the context says, Hashem says to Avram, he opened the conversation, I'm going to give you this land. Avram says, how do I know? Hashem says, take all these animals. Okay, so take the animals, split them in half, separate them, fends off the birds of prey, and then a deep sleep falls upon him, and it's ema, it's dread, it's darkness, and Hashem now adds, know with certainty that your children will be foreigners in a land that's not theirs, they'll be servants, they'll be oppressed, for 400 years. 14, but also that nation that they will serve, v'gamas ha'goy asher yavodu don anochi, I will then judge them. V'achareichen yetzu birchush gadol, and then they will leave with great wealth. V'dor v'ata tavo al avosecha b'shalom, as for you, you shall come to your ancestors in peace, meaning you will die in peace, meaning I'm just describing for you this horrible vision of what's going to happen to your children, but you will not be affected by this. You will die in peace. Tikaver b'seva tova. You shall be buried in a good old age. Vidor revi'i yashuvu hena. And the fourth generation shall return here. Kilo shalem avon ha'emori ad hena. For the iniquity of the Amorite shall not befall until then, end quote. So, back to our story. So, again, Moshe Avram says, how do I know? Take these animals, he splits them, fends off the birds. Good question. I asked that question first, though. Right? I don't know. So, he splits them, lines them up, then this deep slumber falls upon him. Darkness and dread, and he gets this vision of horror that his children will be descended down into a nation that's not theirs. Now again, what's the context of this? That this land will be yours. Mm-hmm. Within the context of, how do I know that this will be mine? I'm looking for reassurance that I'm going to have this land. And what does Hashem tell him? Not so fast. They're going to be kicked out. They're going to be in a strange foreign land. They're going to work hard. They're going to be oppressed for 400 years. Don't worry, I'm going to judge that nation. But it'll be 400 years before they come back. Now,
with great wealth.
With great wealth. Because the sin of the Amorites will not be fulfilled until then. Who's in the land of Eretz Yisrael now? the Amorites.
And their
sin will not have been filled until that point. So I'm not going to kick them out until their sin is filled. So while we pass the time, so we'll go down to this other nation and it'll be horrible. That doesn't sound right. So we have a couple of variables. Where is this exile coming from? Why 400 years? And where did that number come from, 400 years? First of all, how long were the Jewish people in Mitzrayim for? 210. 210 years the Jewish people are in Egypt for. So we have a promise here of 400 years. I don't know where that name, we have to ask the question. Where did that number come from? Why 400? Then they come out with great wealth. That nation will be judged. But you, Avram, you don't have to worry. You will die a good old age in peace and prosperity. But your children, they're going to suffer. And why do we need to wait so long anyway? Well, the people who are currently in the land that I promised to give you, it's going to take time until their sin reaches its full, at which point they have to get rid of them. So until that time, they're going to stay. End of the quote. And this is then the vision that Avram gets in the midst of the answer to his question of, how do I know that my children will inherit the land? I'm going to read the last verses quickly just to at least complete the whole thing.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
I'm also puzzled where it says the fourth generation shall return here.
Correct. Excellent. So in four generations, 400 years, four generations, that also doesn't really match very well. Generations aren't 100 years each. And it came to pass, the sun set, and it was very dark. Behold, there was a smoky furnace and a torch of fire which passed between these pieces. So to conclude this vision, we have this fire and smoke, furnace, torches, passing between the pieces, the last verse. And on that day, Hashem made a covenant with Avram, saying, to your descendants have I given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the Kenite, the Knezite, the Kadomite, the Hittite, the Frizite, and all the different nations. So the Torah concludes that on this day that this covenant was made. Okay, so I think we asked enough questions. But that is the basics of this storyline. There seem to be two primary storylines. The original, you'll be given a great wealth, a great reward, Avram's question, to which Hashem responds with the promise of children. And then a new conversation which has to do with the promise of land. Avram says, how do I know? And then we have this whole process. This is where the covenant between the parts comes from, that language of the parts. This covenant that was created between Hashem and Avram, that his children will in fact inherit the land. And we're going to have to deal with all of the different aspects of that covenant. Why the splitting in half? Why the furnace and the torch? Why the dread? Why the promise of exile? Why 400 years? Why the four generations? Why, what else can we, why the birds of prey? All of those things are going to come into this aspect. So we can understand this fundamental aspect, these two promises of children and land, which have carried us through all of these generations, which is at the core of this particular parak.
And 17 is the conclusion?
No, 18.
17 is the conclusion of the vision that he gets in the midst of his answer to the question of... In other words, there's a story with that... We're running out of time to point that. There's a story within a story. Avram asks, how do I know? He says, take these animals. In the midst of that, he gets the vision of exile. Then the story goes back to this furnace and torch passing through the pieces, and that's the covenant of, how will I know they will inherit it? We just made a pact somehow with my torch and furnace going through these pieces. That's our pact. And the story within that was, this vision that he gets, this dark night, dread and fear of exile within the pact that's being made of the promise of the land. I mean, this is obviously, you got all this clear from when we read this to the parsha, as we lay through it, what is this story about? And Mirtz Hashem, we will work it through as best we can in subsequent weeks. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.